It's not easy. Reloading, trying to find pictures, editing it, make it into a montage, sync it up to some generic YouTube music. And literally 5-10 minutes after Crown Jewel goes off the air, put it all together. Come here online all by my lonesome. No producers. Just me and you. How's it going, everybody? It is Thursday night, October 21st, 2021. This is your WWE Crown Jewel recap. I am Don Tony. And don't forget, later on tonight, join me back here at 10.05 p.m. Eastern. We are going to do a live stream, Q&A, live chat. And yeah, we are going to check out that wrestle crap that I promised you. This exclusive match that's never been seen before, online, uncut, uncensored, unedited. Yes, I own half the rights to the footage, so we're going to have a fun show tonight. Got to give myself a little plug. Whew, what a hectic day, especially for those that work on a Thursday or go to school, especially work. I'm back and forth, but I got to tell you. Can't tell you how many times I said it. A lot of you out there said it. Maybe Tony Khan understands a little bit more now how much a $50 million pay-per-view is worth. Yes, you do a 30-minute overtime. Yes, you bring back the King of the Ring. Yes, the first ever Queen's Crown. Do you know there's still people that are adding up match times for the Queen's Crown tournament? Like they're trying to make some women's statement out there. This was just this shiny little trinket. Crown Prince, Mr. Prince, Crown Prince, who would you like from this list of women that can go to Saudi Arabia, would go to Saudi Arabia? Who would you like to see queen, the queen's crown? Exactly how we expected it to be. In fact, if it wasn't for the fact that Becky Lynch retained, we would have been perfect tonight. Hell, for my channel members out there, they'll speak for me. The predictions contest that we had earlier today for the tiebreaker, which I said predict the match time between Doudrop and Zelina Vega. My match prediction time, 5 minutes, 50 seconds. The actual match time, 5 minutes, 50 seconds. I hope somebody copied my entry. We all said that this is probably going to top SummerSlam and WrestleMania. And in my honest opinion, it did. You know why it topped both of those shows? WrestleMania, I think, more so than SummerSlam, but because this was a manageable 4 hours. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say manageable. It was still 4 hours. I get it. But there was really no lulls. No low points. If you want to say Zelina versus Doudrop was kind of a low point, it still did almost 6 minutes. I will be honest with you. I am shocked beyond belief that Undertaker did not appear live on the camera. That just goes to show you that they do not want the Undertaker televised for the universe anytime soon. Put him in a horror film for Halloween with the New Day. Put him in Saudi Arabia. Pitbull. Locally, but when it comes to the cameras televised, if you didn't see him on camera today for not even to come out and welcome everyone, you know, that's interesting. It's interesting. And that's telling as well. Now, I'm not going to single out any individual names because I don't want anybody to get heat for this. I understand you have a right to your opinion, and I totally respect that. But number one, you know, for people that are saying that, why did the Hell in a Cell open up the pay-per-view? Why do you care? In 2021, why do you care that my favorite match of the night opened up the show? Why? Because you came home late? Maybe you woke up late? What's the big deal if an awesome match opens up? That's what I said about the New Day versus the Bloodline, or the New Day versus blah, 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 and the Hurt Business. And why they open it up on Raw? Who cares? We're getting good shit. Adam Cole, Brian Danielson, Kenny Omega, they open up Dynamite. So what? It's good shit. The second thing also is, with all due respect, seriously, I'm sick and tired of people out there saying, man, they put on such a great pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. Too bad it didn't happen here. Seriously, I say this with all due respect. What does that mean? What does that mean? That you would have enjoyed it more if it was done within the United States, if it was done within the United Kingdom, wherever you live? What does that mean? Unless you wished it was in your hometown, down the block from you, what does it matter? You know, somebody said, man, I wish it would have been in the United States because it's, you know, I work during the day, and man, you know, I would have loved to have seen this live and stuff. Okay, that's a logistics issue. But to turn around and say that Saudi Arabia, I'm sick of this blood money and this and that, you know, because you see a lot of your favorite musicians, athletes, movie stars, they go to Saudi Arabia, nobody says a damn thing about it. But WWE goes, oh, blood money, blood money, blood money, blood money. I guarantee you, for those radical AEW fringe element out there, if Tony Khan announced tomorrow that they were going to go to Saudi Arabia, you wouldn't dare have the kahunas to say, how could you do something like that? Khashoggi, blood money, blood money, blood money. Stop that. Stop it. This is what the world is. This is what business is. This is what the money is all about. You could look in your local towns, your local states. People sell out for the almighty dollar. If you don't like it, then just don't follow it. Protest it. But don't be all this selective outrage that when other people do it, it's okay. You know, just stop it. It was a great event. And guess what? Let's give the old man a little bit of credit. And I don't mean me. Goldberg did not do bad today. Yes, we were all, when he got his head thrown into the corner post and you saw a little trickle of blood on the top and we were like, oh no, Goldberg with ring posts. We thought that he got knocked for a loop again. And that match at that time was so one-sided that we were fearing, like, is this happening again? But look, I know a lot of you out there did not want to see Goldberg win the match. Bobby Lashley loses no momentum by losing this match. If anything, for the people out there that were so livid and against Goldberg even being in this match, you'll probably support Bobby Lashley even more. It did not disappoint. I thought this pay-per-view was excellent. And any of you out there that might be joining me right now who did not get a chance to see Crown Jewel for whatever reason, if you're going to ask me right off the bat, should you go see it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, you know, you're on Peacock. You pay the $5 or the $10 a month. It's worth every penny of it. So anyway, for now, for this episode, we're going to just recap it. There's no reason for me to go into every little nook and cranny. In fact, I thank you all for the insane response to last night's predictions contest. I will tell you something, and this goes out to some of you out there that truly care about all the work that I do over here. There were quite a few of you out there that would have loved to have seen us do a very short predictions show, maybe 15 to 30 minutes tops. And in hindsight, Darren is watching the show with friends over dinner and drinks, as opposed to being alone at 1 a.m. And thank you, Prince of Persia from the UK. Much love, my friend. Thank you for the £5 super chat. Thank you so much, my friend. Much love. But getting back, and this is why I always say, please send me your feedback. Your feedback will make this channel that much better. In hindsight, as far as doing predictions contests, especially doing it so early yesterday, I realize now that doing a very short episode is what a lot of people want. So I think going forward, what I'm going to try my hardest to do is, if we do a longer episode, I will make two versions of it. One that'll be edited, that will have a lot of little incidentals out of it, and then one will be the full episode, and then you choose whichever one you want to tune into. So tonight, I'm going to make it my business to keep this episode 45 minutes or less. If I have to go a little longer, an hour at the most. I really want to do that for everybody out there. But there was one thing I wanted to say, too. Oh, you know, and I want to explain, too. When we were talking about a lot in the matches yesterday, you know, talking about why we felt Zelina was going to be queen, and, you know, the whole thing with Shayna Baszler and some of the other stuff that went on, you know, explaining that is something that a lot of shows would not do. Xavier Woods, the backdrop as to, you know, him winning King of the Ring, a lot of the matches that we talked about yesterday. If you notice, even Riddle got a little bit of revenge on Omos, even though I would have liked to have seen Riddle pin Omos. But then again, right now, Omos shouldn't be pinned really much at all. And speaking of Riddle today, I worked all throughout the show gathering pictures, trying to find good quality stuff, editing it, resizing it for that montage in the beginning. So I'm not going to replay those pictures, but my God, how cool was it to see Riddle on the camel? I made a little joke online comparing it to Hangman Page coming out with the horse. But, look, for those that don't know, there were pictures leaked early of Riddle riding a camel inside the arena, down the rampway, and it looked like a rehearsal. So a lot of people already had a feeling, it looks like Riddle may be coming out on a camel later on. And sure enough, he did. And Randy Orton's look at him was just priceless. So that was awesome. It was, the pay-per-view was fun. I mean, it's really, I can't find much to criticize about it. And it's the annual tradition now. I still have to say, Riddle coming out on the camel might be my second favorite WWE moment of all time in Saudi Arabia. But the first still remains the same, everyone. Let's flash back to, believe it or not, it was last year, right before COVID. This happened in Saudi Arabia. Wait for it. There you go. Oh, my God. How it triggered the haters online. Don Tony, the Donzil Army is global. It's global. And the people that absolutely hated it tried to play it off that, no. Don Tony stood for Double or Nothing Tony Khan. I don't think so. Classic moment, man. Absolutely awesome. So anyway, let's get into it, shall we? All right. Opening match today. Well, that doesn't look good. That does. We had the kickoff match from Muhammad Abdul Arena in Saudi Arabia. The kickoff show started 11 a.m. Eastern today. Before we even get into that, there was a little controversy online earlier today about no DQs and falls count anywhere. Now, this is what I was told about the story. I'm not saying that this is 100% factual. I don't go on other sites to gather information, but this is from what I was told today. Now, for those that don't know the deal, during the kickoff show today, they announced that stipulations were changing on two matches. The first one was Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. It originally was no holds barred. And if you notice yesterday when Mish and I did predictions, we said falls count anywhere. And we talked about them brawling up the rampway and this is an ad. And we talked about, you know, things. Thank God Gage stood home. Seriously, maybe Gage had school. So thank God Gage stood home. The Hurt Business did get involved, obviously. But, you know, they changed it officially from no holds barred to falls count anywhere. Fine. Good. They also said that Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns was now going to be no DQ. And right away, everybody's like, oh, they're changing this, about a half an hour later, during the kickoff show, they said, no, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns is not no DQ, that both sides agreed that they were against it. Now, if you saw the ending of the match tonight, that makes no sense. Because Roman Reigns obviously had help and, you know, it would have been allowed because of a no DQ match. From what I was told, is that there was miscommunication between the commentary and the producers of the kickoff show and WWE in Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm almost certain that the kickoff show was not hailed from Saudi Arabia, that it was done locally, you know, within the United States. I could be wrong with that. But there was some miscommunication, and the no DQ false count anywhere, somehow it got interjected that it pertained to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar as well. Miguel Casanova, aloha, my friend from Hawaii, Hawaii. Love your channel. Love how I call wrestling down the middle, the realest in the game. I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for that $9.99 praise. It is worth a hell of a lot more, but I appreciate your generosity, and thank you. I try to keep it down the middle. Of course, it's not the most popular format. I could come up here and talk about how everything sucks and probably get a lot more people. Yeah! No, you just call it like it is. Yeah, it's okay to criticize things you like. I am a huge AEW fan, and I will still offer my criticism. And guess what? I still have people that respect for me. I want to see it get better. How do you think somebody could get better? I don't want to go off tangents today, but how do you expect somebody to get better if you keep telling them that they're the greatest, they're unbelievable, they're epic, amazing, I'm shaking, I can't sleep, I did blah, 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 blah. Come on. Choke some criticism, show some kahunas, and guess what? People will show you respect for being honest. But thank you for that, my friend. So that was the controversy about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar being changed to no DQ, then being changed back to a regular match. And man, was that an awesome match. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but tell me that that didn't feel at the beginning like a reverse Brock Lesnar match. Usually Brock Lesnar's offense is what Roman Reigns' offense was tonight. That was pretty, and my God, I will not take anything away from my Queens homeboys that went to AEW Grand Slam because their energy was awesome all night long. The energy in Chicago when CM Punk made his AEW debut was freaking awesome as well. When WWE first came back to live fans and that energy was awesome, you have to give that Saudi crowd tonight a hell of a lot of props, man. They were, thank you, Mikel. He doubled. That's why he rocks with me, and I thank you for that. You always get authenticity from me, even though it may piss off people sometimes, but you always get it straight up from me. And we can have difference of opinions here. So, but thank you for that. Thank you for the kind words. But you got the crowds from Chicago, the crowds from Queens, New York, that crowd today, at that end, you know, going, let's go, Brock, Roman Reigns. I mean, I think Brock Lesnar got the biggest pop of the night. They were unhinged for that main event. I mean, unhinged. The crowd was epic. I hate using words like that, but that crowd yesterday, well, earlier today, made it so much more fun, man. Props to all of you in Saudi Arabia that went to Crown Jewel today because, man, you were loud, proud, and awesome. That was pretty good. AJ Styles is pop. Mansoor is pop. Edge. Seth Rollins getting booed out of the building. Becky Lynch is pop. Did anybody notice when Sasha Banks did the Three Amigos, they immediately started chanting for Becky? It was pretty funny. She did the Three Amigos to Bianca. And if you go back and watch it, they started chanting for Becky. Like, right away. That crowd was awesome to me. I loved that crowd tonight. That crowd was great. So now let's officially just run down the results of the matches tonight. First off, we had the Usos, who were also incredibly over. The Usos were over. Guardian of Chaos, thank you for the kind words, my friend. Usos were over big time today in Saudi Arabia. And basically, this match felt like a top-notch SmackDown match. I mean, Raw, we get decent matches here and there as well, but this felt like this would have been a match like you would have seen on SmackDown. Crowd was dominant in the camp of the Usos. Early on in the match, Jey Uso was in for a majority of the time. Jimmy Uso ultimately gets the hot tag, where if you think of logic, it should be the opposite, but they were behind the Usos, and in the end, Jey Uso pins Cedric Alexander after the Uso splash off the top rope, and it was an excellent match to open it up. I mean, they were chanting, "This is awesome," multiple times. And you know what was great tonight? And you got to understand something. You know, I don't want to get into politics or anything here tonight, but the one thing that's pretty cool also is, you know, we're a little bit spoiled, you know, in the United States as far as freedom and, you know, some things we're allowed to do that a lot of other countries not, sometimes for the good and for the bad. King of Games loved Paul Heyman's promo in the pre-show. His facial expressions during the match were great as well. Absolutely, King of Games. Paul Heyman, let me tell you something. Him throwing that belt in the ring, that guy is a master. And it wouldn't surprise me if before the show started, he just kept, or even weeks later, he just kept throwing a belt in the ring to make sure he nails it right down the middle. You couldn't get perfectly more centered between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns today. He threw that belt down the middle. I guarantee you some people probably put a still shot and measured with a ruler on TV, like, which is the belt leaning towards Brock by a quarter of an inch, or is it leaning? It was spectacular. Spectacular. And if you look back at that video montage, that look of Roman Reigns at the end, you know, making it seem like, did you throw that belt for me? Or did you throw it for Brock? And that's going to be the storyline going forward. That is where you'll see it go tomorrow. But what I wanted to say about the Saudi crowd is, you know, you look, especially that area of the world, and you're watching something from thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, and you get to see them once a year for the most part, plus everybody has been in COVID. And in certain areas of the world, they are far more going through COVID than others. So to have WWE come and, you know, just, and that Be a Star campaign that they did, which was pretty freaking cool. The breast cancer awareness segment that they did with Titus O'Neil and Natalya in the ring was nice. I mean, you know, that's nice to see. And you could, and when you see fans tonight chanting, "This is awesome," after moves that was like, no big deal, that's just them appreciating, enjoying what they're watching. Just the fact that those wrestlers were there was awesome. And that's really when wrestling is at its best. As far as a fan goes, when you can just really get into it before even getting spoiled with top quality matches, that's what it's all about. That's what it should be about. So, all right. So now we go to the main pay-per-view, and here we go. Crown Jewel. First match for the official pay-per-view. Talk to me. There we go. My God, I don't even know what you could say about this match. I mean, 1 minute in, the fans are chanting, "This is awesome." 1 minute in. And I think I said it yesterday. That match was the one. Yeah, I did say it yesterday with Mish. I said, the Hell in a Cell is the match I'm looking forward to the most. And for Mish, it was the least. Match, the one he was looking forward the least. Not that he didn't like the two or the storyline. He just wasn't sure if it was going to deliver the way it should. And it certainly delivered, man. I mean, we have seen cage matches. And we have seen a Hell in a Cell once or twice over the years where when the match is over, you say to yourself, why did this even happen inside a cell? Like, they hardly utilize it at all. You might get one bump out of it, but they really don't utilize the cell. Seth Rollins bouncing off the side of the cage like a pinball machine and going through the table, just them using the tables, the chairs, the ladder, you know, just going for the eye, you know, I mean, trying to do the concerto, you know, with the, I mean, just everything that they did was physical. It was vicious. And we just sat back and loved it. Marco Matticoli, thank you for the 1999 Super Chat. Great show, great main event, but doesn't excuse how lazy the bookings have been. Happy for the crowd. Hope things get better in the States. I agree with you 100%. Seriously. That's what $50 million will do. I mean, you get a little invigorated. You get a little excited. But you got to understand something, too. Understand something, too. Make no mistake about it. You know, there have been a few storylines that we feel should have ended already. Goldberg, Bobby Lashley. Edge, Seth Rollins. Do you think about it? That feud should have ended at SummerSlam. And, you know, maybe one or two others. And because of Saudi Arabia and because of the amount of money involved, some feuds were extended. And, you know, this is to please, you know, satisfy, make the value of the pay-per-view worth it. Remember, as the years go by, WWE is going to be more and pressured more and more to even up it another notch, because when that deal is up, yeah, I know a lot of you out there don't follow the stock market, and that's fine. I didn't follow the stock market until I was much older. But if they don't get a new deal with Saudi Arabia, or if they get a new deal and they want to cut the price quite a bit, that's going to affect the stock market. You think about the amount, we're not talking monopoly money here. I mean, you think about how much money for one event. So yeah, they put on the tux, they work their asses off, they change the storylines, they extend things, they add things, they take, and now with that over, you know, you got to kind of worry even more, because now what's the pressure? They got their money. They delivered. Now the pressure is to keep it going. Hopefully the shift of the draft will do that. You know, but there was a little confusion even with the announcers today, because during this match, I don't remember who it was, but one of the commentators, I think it was Byron, was it Byron Saxton that said it? But one of the commentators said that, you know, with Edge going to Raw, that this feud is over. Seth Rollins is going to Raw also. So there was a couple of things that just kind of didn't make sense. But this Hell in a Cell was awesome. Seriously. I honestly, up until that main event, my favorite match of the night. Not even close. I mean, they must have chanted "This is awesome" at least four or five times during this match. Within a minute. Because it told the beautiful story. These two guys weren't going for repeated pin attempts. They were trying to hurt each other. Seth Rollins going for Edge's left eye. You know, Edge, you know, putting Rollins through a table. Using the bar with the mouth. And then insisting that he's going to try to cripple Seth Rollins. I mean, these guys were trying to, you know, turn the other into an invalid. I don't want to be on the Goldberg level. You're dead. They killed each other. They beat the living shit out of each other. I am so proud to have said for over a year that, man, I'm into Rollins. Because that guy, when you really think about it, he gets under your skin, and sometimes in a very annoying way, but he is one right now that you just want to see him get the living shit out of, beat out of. And Edge, I mean, Think about this. You know, at his age, to see what he could do, I'm not going to be one of those that's going to sit back and say, I don't want to sit too far back, but then you won't hear me. But I don't want to be one of those to say, all right, CM Punk, at your age, all right, let's see you do that. It's not fair. It's not fair to anybody who gets up there in age. But for this guy to come back the way he did and to have that kind of match, let me tell you something. It's not physically, just physically draining on your body, but it's emotionally as well. I mean, if you don't think Edge was caught in up in a moment after that match was over and he's just looking around at the crowd and the crowd is going batshit. And let me tell you something. I will almost bet everything that I own that Edge will do an interview in the near future and Edge will say that sometimes he doesn't understand why such a young generation of fans are into him as much as they have. You know, if you really think about it, I mean, Edge, you know, Attitude Era, the stuff with Lita, you know, him and Christian, the Brood. By the way, you notice, unfortunately, what we have said all along is pretty much the case. No more Brood Mood, no more flames coming out. That was done only because they couldn't do pyro at SummerSlam. It was never, you know, push for extended nostalgia with that. That was just for SummerSlam. And once SummerSlam was gone, Brood Mood was out the door as well. But, you know, the fact that Edge could bring it to that level and then just look around in that crowd, and WWE put out to the media today, and I actually got an email also, and I was going to include the photos of all the crowd shots that they took. The only reason why I didn't was because if you go back to the beginning again, and I put that cheesy YouTube generic music in the beginning, the music synced with the photos perfectly because I had a certain number of photos that I wanted to have. If I would have went over, then you start tweaking with times and everything gets screwed up. So I had to stick with 50 photos, no more, no less. But a big part of that crowd today were kids. They were there with their families because they're not going to be traveling, you know, to that area alone. I wouldn't do it in my town. But to see that kind of noise just nonstop for him after the match is over, when he's looking around, he's got that little bit of spittle just hanging over his lip and he's just looking around like, you know how it must feel inside, man? Man, I wish you could bottle that feeling. These two guys killed it. They killed it. Edge has been on fire. Rollins upped his game. I know this storyline needs to move on. Absolutely. But when you get that level of fight between two guys like that, yeah, sure, you could always revisit it down the line. But man, you know, you're so tempted to keep it going because of the you know, just the level of intensity, storytelling, match quality. But at this point, you really, and you know what had to happen tonight? And we've talked about this before. We have seen feuds, and I'm sure you could come up with quite a few of them. Post them in the chat if you want. Show others your examples. But we have seen feuds in the past where two people have 3-4 matches against each other, high-profile matches. And, you know, in history, when you have a feud with someone, you usually start off with a regular match, then you add a little stipulation, or a return match, then you add a stipulation, then it culminates with a big stipulation. Back in the day, it would be a cage match. Now, sometimes it's Hell in a Cell, whatever it is. And many times in recent years, you have a feud, and it starts with a big stipulation, and then they end up having a regular match, like towards the end of the feud, and like, wait, that's going like ass backwards. So when they had their first match, you know, we enjoyed it tremendously. Then they had the rematch at SummerSlam, and they knocked it out of the park even better. So now, because of this third match that we didn't expect was going to happen, they had to go a step further, and they killed it tonight. And, you know, like I said, there was a part during the match where Seth Rollins, it looked like he was going to go for a moonsault. There was a table set up outside the ring, and Edge just pushes him over the top rope. He bounces off the cage, the cell, like a pinball, and goes right through the table. Crowd is chant. We heard holy shit chants tonight. Toby Knights, thank you for subscribing, my friend. You heard holy shit chants tonight. You heard a lot of the usual chants that we hear. Yeah, the first that, well, Andrew, you say this is Edge's first Hell in a Cell win. Wasn't this his only second Hell in a Cell match? I think Seth has had four or five. This might be his fourth or fifth. But Edge, this might have been his second. I know he took on Taker, but I don't recall him having another one. But still, you know, awesome win for Edge. And when he took that table out towards the end, the crowd is chanting, yes, yes, yes. Originally, he was going to take the table out, but instead went back under the ring and pulled the ladder out. And, man, it was just absolutely phenomenal. What about Seth Rollins taking the chain, wrapping it around his boot? Edge, you know, taking that kick in the head, no hands held up. Edge is like, big payday. Nailed right in the head. Edge-o-matic on the steps. But Edge, if you notice, he landed awkwardly, and it looked like it hurt him as well. You had Edge diving off the top rope with the chair, reminiscent of Cactus Jack to the concrete floor. And Edge, you know, telling Seth Rollins at the very end, this is how your destiny ends, and decides he's going to go for the concerto, changes his mind, and hits Seth Rollins with his own finisher, the curb stomp on the chair. Seth Rollins selling it like $1 million, and Edge gets the win. And the match was phenomenal. I mean, for me, maybe my mind changes by the time we get to Roman versus Brock. But for me, I'm like, I don't know how you could beat that. I mean, I really don't know how the hell you could beat that. Second match, I think some people might have been a little bit disappointed at this match. It went shorter than I expected it to be. I think the outcome was pretty obvious. Ali worked his ass off for Mansoor. Mansoor did a great job as well. The crowd made this match more interesting and exciting than if we would have seen it in the States. I don't know if WWE would have given these two guys this much time on a pay-per-view if it didn't happen in Saudi Arabia. But this match, you know, felt like maybe a little bit more than a typical Raw match. But in the end, we have an attempted 450 splash by Mustafa Ali. Unfortunately, no water in the pool. He misses. And then Mansoor dives over the top rope into a neck breaker onto Mustafa Ali for a win. And then we get an appearance, and if you saw the picture montage at the beginning, we get someone who is under, you know, the typical garb that you see in that area of the world. And yes, I'm with a lot of others. To me, a lot of us in the back of my mind were like, Diete lost a lot of weight. Because, you know, it was just the way he was wrapped. But we couldn't tell who it was. The only thing we knew, and this is not to be controversial, I'm just telling it like it is. The only thing we knew is that it was a black guy or a dark-skinned man. It was not like, you know, somebody making a return or something like, you know, it was somebody too short to be the Great Khali, walked way too fast to be the Great Khali. And then people are wondering, like, could this be a local wrestler, you know, maybe making his WWE debut? You know, maybe someone that we don't know, but obviously it was going to be somebody local, because once you reveal who you are, the local has got to know who he is, because if they don't, then it just doesn't make sense to do that. So he unravels, you know, the material, the cloth, that was covering his face, and it's Olympic medalist Tariq Hamedi, and karate champion. Holy sh! I went online to like try to grab some pictures, and as I'm grabbing the pictures, there's all these video clips of this guy, and I'm like, this guy's pretty freaking legit. Crowd goes nuts because he's from Saudi Arabia. He's from that area of the world. So, you know, Mustafa Ali is getting kicked in the head. So he's in the ring, and, you know, originally Mustafa Ali is like, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you. And then he's like this. He's like this. Ray Guns, am I shaking? All Elite Sheep? You know, I will say this. Hang on. It's a little cold in here. I don't know if it looked like I was shaking. It might have been. It is a little cold here. But thank you, Ray Guns, for the $1.99 super chat. Much love, my friend. Much love. But he's like this. And, you know, he's like, all right. He wants to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Mustafa Ali a little bit. And Ali is like, all right, you know, you want some. No problem. Ali just runs right into a karate kick. Sells it great. You know, maybe didn't connect perfectly. But then Hamedi, you know, holds up Mansoor's arm. Mansoor taking a couple of selfies around ringside. No speech. No speech this time around. But the guy is legit, man. If you don't know anything about it, do I think he's going to become a WWE superstar? I'd be surprised. I think that was just more of local hero, you know, karate champion doing a little segment. It's fine. And no problem with it whatsoever. But, you know, fun little segment. I don't feel bad for Ali. Ali is going to be just fine. So next, we have Titus O'Neil and Natalya in the ring. They have a few women in the ring as well with WWE championship belts. And, you know, they do have breast cancer awareness in Saudi Arabia. That's like what I say. I'm sorry for bringing it up again. But, you know, the people that tell you over the years, oh, the Crown Prince wanted Yokozuna, but he's dead. He wanted the Ultimate Warrior, but he's dead. They wanted CM Punk. Okay. What do you think, the Crown Prince lives in a cave? You know, they have all, you know, the communication that we do here. You know, the Crown Prince is a lifelong wrestling fan. They know what the deal is. And yes, they do have breast cancer awareness as well. And it was a really, really nice segment. And, you know, seeing that segment and seeing the Be A Star, the Be A Star thing was pretty cool. Because you had Big E there, Mansoor, Mustafa Ali, Natalya, Bianca Belair, Big E, Finn Balor. I could go on, Drew McIntyre. And let me tell you something. It's inspiring for those young kids, you know, to see their larger-than-life heroes from thousands of miles away. You know, and when they asked all of them, you know, how many of you have been bullied, and everybody raised their hand, you know, that's powerful to a kid. So, Psycho says, who cares? Anyway, AJ Styles and Omos unsuccessful in their bid to dethrone Randy Orton and Riddle for the tag titles. You know, again, the crowd lit for this match. I mean, really into it, Randy Orton. And that crowd is really, really into Riddle as well. And that's awesome to see, seriously. I mean, they have tweaked Riddle's character enough that he doesn't look like a stone beach bum anymore. He's more of like a puppy dog, you know, for Randy Orton. Innocent. And Omos is just, you know, the Crown Prince. Freaking. But you know what's funny? When you watch Randy Orton and Omos in the ring together, yes, Omos is several inches taller. They're not that much. I think people are surprised how tall Randy Orton is. I believe. I mean, but, you know, we've seen them face each other multiple times, and this match didn't feel that much different. The crowd was really into it. And AJ Styles and Randy Orton have incredible chemistry. Incredible. And you see pretty much the similar formula each time. Omos gets the best of Riddle. AJ Styles and Orton go back and forth. AJ Styles will have his moments, but Randy Orton ultimately with the RK out of nowhere, and match is over. No different today. But Riddle, the story of this match was Riddle coming out on the camel. And, you know, I was waiting for people to write online, wow, that is so wrong to have those camels going down the ring and being subject to loud Randy Orton music. And I'm like, come on, man. I could understand people having empathy for a dog like Cody's dog. You know, that's a little different. You know, when you're talking about a horse or a camel or something like that, I think, put it this way, and I'm not joking when I say this, if you go back, seriously, if you go back and you watch Riddle going down the rampway on the camel, tell me you all didn't see this. The camel is walking down the rampway and the camel's going like this. He looked like he was marking out. He's like, hey, this is pretty cool. The camel was awesome. I'm saying, and Randy Orton's face is priceless. Randy Orton is like, what the? It was good, man. Again, this is not a knock on AEW. It's not. I swear, I'm a huge AEW fan. I'm just not going to gush and make it seem like everything's amazing. Just like WWE. I don't do that either. But let's be honest. There is a giant stark difference between AEW and WWE. And that is WWE is more about spectacle and presentation, and AEW is more about match quality and in-ring work. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are wrestlers that like to be more of an entertainer, an actor. And then there are wrestlers that they like to just kick ass in the ring, go hard nose, chop each other, you know, just go nuts. It's two different styles. Some people like both. Some people can do both. But some prefer to be the entertainer. That's why I think that's something I think that a lot of people out there need to keep reminding themselves, that they're two totally different products. It's, I no longer, like a lot of people, think that AEW is trying to be WWE light. Yes, they are signing a lot of former WWE talent, but they're signing the former WWE talent that fit in to that style. But you look at some of these matches tonight, yes, some of them were incredible in the ring, but a lot of it is about presentation, spectacle, pomp and circumstance. You don't need that in AEW. And that, you, honestly, that is a big expense that Tony Khan saves, too. It's smart on his part. So, yeah, you know, Rocky Red, you know, AEW is more in the sports presentation part of it, and WWE is more the entertainment. Sure. I think that's fair to say. So, Riddle and Randy Orton retain the belts. Fun match. You know, nothing extremely standing out from it, but other than the camel. So now we get Doudrop and Zelina Vega. You know, this is something also. Wrestling with a t-shirt on, yeah, for me, for the couple of times I did it, I preferred it. Because honestly, if I would have came out there without a shirt, my theme music, instead of being Goodfellas music, it probably would have been Will Smith. The jingling baby, come on, baby. The jingling baby, come on, baby. The jingling baby. You know, like, it's not comfortable for a lot of people to wrestle in a shirt, especially when you, and by the way, they don't jingle. I'm just, you know, I could, actually, I don't know if you could see that. I actually can do, like, I used to do that with Rocky Johnson when he used to go like this. I used to be able to do it. I can't do it like I used to. One day I'll take the shirt off for the right super chat. I'm kidding. Don't. I won't. But, you know, it's not easy to perform in t-shirts. And plus, there is added pressure because they know that there's a lot of limitation. I'll tell you something. I know it's not a big deal. to many of you out there, but it was something with the women's match tonight, the three-way that I saw, and I was saying to myself, boy, I guarantee you some people in Saudi Arabia were not happy about something. And I'll tell you a little bit later. Oh, yeah, did I say Will Smith? No, LL Cool J. Shit, I remember the music video when he's walking around in the house and you had the old lady, like, in the kitchen, and then you got the jiggling, baby. Come on, baby. Yeah, LL Cool J. Brain fart. Thank you, Dorian, for correcting me. Dorian, didn't you win that contest the other day? I think I know I got to take care of somebody tonight. I think Dorian is the one. So, by the way, everybody else is hooked up already. So, Dorian, if it's you, don't get mad. I will do it before I go live tonight. Because I the last thing I want is someone disgruntled later on tonight for the live stream. We're having a lot of fun looking at CM Punk's bare ass later on the show. And then somebody's like, I can get my prize. So, look, it's not easy to wear that, especially if you're a high flyer. Now, I'm not saying either one of them are high flyers. It obviously came into play a little bit later on with the three-way. But, you know, this was what it was supposed to be. You know, again, with all due respect, I think you realize now, the first week, okay, I could get it when people don't understand. But when 2-3 weeks go by and people are still focusing on the match time of the women matches and trying to make a statement that women are not being respected, you know, this was something that, first of all, it was only about a year or two ago, 2 years ago, that women didn't even wrestle in the in Saudi Arabia. Yes, I know Impact had that event. But my point is, this is still new to have women performing there. So this tournament was nothing more than a shiny trinket to sell to the prince. Okay, I'm having my wedding next year, September 3rd. I'm getting married, for real. And I went, met with my photographer. I met with the hall. I met with another place. And I met with the DJ. And the DJ is selling me, all right, this is how much we want. What do I get for that? Oh, well, we're going to do this. And we're going to have the whole floor smoke during your first dance. And then we're going to have these sparklers come out when you enter the room. Then we're going to do this. Okay, I'm listening. And then later on, we're going to do this. And how's about we do this? And guess what? We can have a selfie set. And you're trying to sell me on it. So believe me, when WWE is doing these gigantic events, they're trying to sell things to the crown prince. That's why it's not just the Royal Rumble there. It's the greatest Royal Rumble. When you have the trophy thing, it's the most unbelievable. It sounds like some fringe element on both sides. The most epic, unbelievable. The greatest match that'll make your hand shake in history. They have to oversell it. So they said to the crown prince, what if we do the first ever Queen's Crown? Now, wouldn't it make sense? Charlotte Flair, how do you have a Queen's Crown tournament without the Queen? Yeah, that's logic. Shayna Baszler should have won this whole thing because she was in it. And we went there a couple of weeks ago, and I'm standing by why she was not in Saudi Arabia. But the thing is, this tournament was not about holding women back. This was nothing more than a selling point to give to Saudi Arabia that first ever Queen's Crown and Crown Prince, you could choose who should be queen. What are my choices? Again, when people out there like Liv Morgan should have been in it, this person should have been, you don't know who wanted to go and who didn't. You don't know who was welcome and who may have been allowed to go, but did not feel welcome. There are people out there that will make a statement. But they won't say anything publicly because they don't want to cause controversy. They don't want to put any negative attention on themselves. So this was presented. Crown Prince, everything that we said for this entire tournament was 100% right. Because you had to look at this, not in a women's perspective, not in a WWE mistreating women perspective. It was, we're going to give this tournament most of the women in it should only be wrestling 2-3 minutes. You want to see a 10-minute Zelina Vega match? Come on, everybody. I like Zelina Vega. I rooted for her when she got let go. When she came back, I was happy for her. I felt bad that she didn't get a lot of the support that she thought she was going to get when she left. Remember all the union stuff with the ambulance chaser, Gabrielle Carteris? So I like her. But you forget that she lost almost every match. And now all of a sudden people want to see 15-minute Broadways with her? Nobody wants to see that. You look at some of the women on the card. Dana Brooke versus Shayna Baszler. Animal. Shayna Baszler dominating people. Oh, Shayna should go 6 minutes? Should we have one or two commercial breaks in the process? No. A lot of these matches were designed that they should only have lasted a minute or two. Because it was never about the matches. It was about selling the first ever Queen's Crown. And Zelina Vega gets the win. I like the part where Zelina Vega couldn't like pull Doudrop because Doudrop was so heavy. It's like pulling dead weight for real. But she hits the code red on Doudrop and she gets the win. And as I said last night, on Raw, you're going to hear the music. She's going to walk out extremely slow. She will be able to show leg. And who knows, maybe my troll idea yesterday that she gives the crown to Eva Marie. WWE really wants to troll, man. That's what I would do. So, but that's just my thinking. So really, you can't think too much about this. That's why also when I did the predictions contest, why we extended a lot of our talk about a lot of matches. Because if we just go in there and say, Doudrop's a win, Doudrop is the most talented of the two, Zelina Vega, blah, 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 and then just move on 30 seconds later, then people just look at it as match value, match quality, ability. No, it was 1,000 things, other parts of it that you cannot leave out. If you think about everything we talked about, Zelina Vega winning was the logical choice, and she won. She won. Next, we're already in an hour. Fuck. That's all right. We don't have too many matches left because we already talked a little detail about a few people. All right. Bill Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. All right. So this will go about 90 minutes. It's all right. You see what I mean? We have these little extended conversations to explain why things make sense. You know there's going to be some shows on it that can say, Doudrop versus Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega wins 5 minutes. This whole tournament has been a disaster. It's disgusting. It's a travesty. It's just disrespectful, blah, 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 blah. And then 30 seconds later, move on. And it sounds nice and everything, but no. This match started off, and let's be honest, with Goldberg's recent history with The Undertaker. It's getting warm again. Goldberg's recent history with The Undertaker, his match against Lashley not too long ago. Bill Goldberg looks like $1 million, but unfortunately he looks like $1 million bill from a 50-year-old $1 million bill, 55-year-old, whatever it is. You know, he looks unbelievable for his age. But unfortunately, like we witnessed with The Undertaker up until the very end, how you feel and how your mind thinks is not how your body is. And you can convince yourself that you could still do it. And then you realize you lose a little spring in your steps and that could cause major injury to someone. Just think about some of Undertaker Roman Reigns. Think of how long ago that was now. Undertaker Goldberg. Goldberg Lashley. Remember the last match? They had Lashley almost did the JC Jane. And we can kind of joke about it now because JC Jane seems to be okay. But this match, when it first started, you know, I was a little nervous. And then Lashley dominating, whips, pulls the chain out of his pants, is whacking Goldberg with it. And then you see a little split open on the head. And I'm saying to myself, okay, was that from the chain? Or when Lashley threw Goldberg into the corner and Goldberg may have like tapped his head on the ring post. Whoo, And Lashley is just beating the shit out of this guy. And you can't help but to think, oh my God, did this guy just get another concussion? I mean, it was so one-sided that you wonder, is this how Goldberg is going to go out? Then, you know, we saw, you know, one change in the match. Lashley sets up a table in the corner and he goes to, I believe, spear Goldberg, and Goldberg moves out of the way. Lashley goes through the table. Goldberg gets the upper advantage, hits a spear, then hits a jackhammer and did it nicely. Now you start thinking, okay, all right, not too bad. Goldberg does not go for the pin. Instead, he rips the gloves off because this is about his family. You don't mess with his family. Remember, he wanted to kill Bobby Lashley. So he rips the gloves off, goes outside the ring. They start brawling outside the ring. Goldberg spears Bobby Lashley through a barricade, says, this is for my son, smashes Bobby Lashley's head into the table, the announcer's table, the side ringside area. Then they start going up the rampway. Actually, even before that, you know, it was a cool moment that I really loved, seriously. And it's such a simple thing. The ring steps. He takes Bobby Lashley's head, puts it on the ring step. Now, yes, he grabs the other steps and was going to throw it onto Bobby Lashley's head. Lashley moved out of the way. Thank God. You imagine if you accidentally slip? You imagine? Oh, my God. I mean, I could only think. God, that's what you see. The trick is when you throw the ring steps on the other ring steps, the idea is to aim for the edge of the other ring step. This way, God forbid, if, you know, something terribly goes wrong, the ring steps being thrown down hits and then goes over, it still would probably do damage. But before he grabs, Goldberg grabs the other steps, he takes Bobby Lashley, said, I'm sorry, I don't have any physical props and I haven't torn the head off yet, but he takes Lashley, if this is the ring steps, by the way, I think Riddle is an Evil Knievel fan, so much love. Pretend it is the ring steps. He takes Goldberg takes Lashley's head and is pushing down. I mean, making it look like that way, pushing down on the ring steps. I'm like, yeah, that's what you want to do to somebody. You just shove his head into the metal. So it looked great, man. But they start brawling up the rampway. You know, just so you know, in my entire life, I didn't wear glasses till about like 20 years ago, but this is the first time in my life I ever bought round glasses. I don't know. I thought they looked good online. So anyway, they go up the rampway and it looks like a bad ninja film. You got Cedric and Shelton standing on the rampway with Singapore canes. And here is where I'm like, oh God, please don't give me Gage. Please. I don't want to see Gage spearing one of them. Please don't give me Gage. Then I thought, when I said yesterday, remember when we said I thought Undertaker would get involved? But the problem is Undertaker would take a very long time for him to run down that rampway, and we ain't seeing Undertaker running anymore unless it's in a video game. So I'm thinking they're going up the ramp, like, oh, okay, they're going up there. So this way Undertaker just needs to walk 6 feet. No, instead, you know, I think one gets back body dropped from Goldberg and somehow is completely incapacitated. Then Goldberg spears Bobby Lashley off the stage through a table and pins Bobby Lashley. Honestly, I had no problem with the match. Me being a lifelong Goldberg fan, and as I said before, I could tolerate Goldberg in 2021. Two or three matches, I despised him beating The Fiend. Let me just say that. I've said that a trillion. I hated that. Awful. Awful. But I could tolerate Goldberg two or three matches a year. You know, it's not a crazy amount of time, but there is a time coming extremely soon that he's not going to even be able to do one match anymore. To see the guy still look like 2005 Goldberg, you know, with the added gray, but to see the condition that he's in and he could still do it a little bit, you know, I have no problem with that. It's not the end. Look, I'm not going to compare him to Sting. But you see how AEW uses Sting? They use Sting extremely smart. You know, and Sting is even older than Goldberg, and Sting could still do it. It's, I think people are more upset on how Goldberg is being used. Like, they don't want him doing this to Lashley. They'd rather him, you know, squash somebody that, you know, is more down on the food chain. What's the purpose of that, though? Who, with all due respect, who wants to see Goldberg beat Drew Gulak? And I'm a big fan of Drew Gulak. I don't need to prove that. You know that on the show. Goldberg is still a high-profile name. He's a larger-than-life hero. And in Saudi Arabia, he is larger-than-life superhero. There's not too many superheroes from the 80s and 90s that could do it anymore. He's one of the few left. So if we have to get two or three matches a year and he doesn't embarrass himself in the ring, I'm fine with it. I had no problem with it today. And you know what gets me a little annoyed about social media? The people out there that can never admit that they were wrong. Like, they just, a lot of people wanted to see Goldberg get hurt. And they can't just, you know, be just man enough or woman enough to just say, look, you know, I thought this guy was going to suck up the joint, and actually he did pretty good job. It's number one, giving somebody a compliment when you're wrong. I thought he did a decent job. Bobby Lashley is not being jobbed out. Do not worry about it. Do not worry about it. Next on the list. I know it looks like I'm looking in the opposite direction. Okay. Xavier Woods beats Finn Balor to become King of the Ring. I'm extremely happy. I know a lot of you are happy as well. I know a lot of people out there did not want Xavier Woods to win because they just felt like, why reward someone just to reward them? I don't need to repeat everything I've said for the last few weeks, but the New Day was ranked number one in WWE's eyes, the greatest tag team in history. I disagree. I don't have a problem with them in the top 10. Number one, I disagree. But I'm fine with it. And let's be honest. Let's put all this shit aside. You look at Kofi's resume. You look at what Big E's resume is going to look like. Xavier Woods, no matter how beautiful of a person he is, no matter how much of a role model he is outside, no matter how much he does for the community and for the kids that a lot of people still don't understand, that guy is an incredible man. But when you look at his resume, he needs some accolades, a couple other things under his belt, individual accolades, not 85-time tag team champ. He needs some individual accolades. And when you realize how many years Xavier has wanted to be King Woods. And if I remember correctly, didn't he joke around with Finn Balor a bunch of years ago about King of the Ring and said, you know, one day it's going to be me. It could be me versus you, King Woods. We got it today. And guess what? You go back and watch it. When he picked up that crown, right before he put it over his head, he's about to cry. That's real. That's real tears. That's not fake. That, you know, remember, you know, and it says this is not sticking up for WWE. You know, when Tony Khan makes the statement that Raw sucked, you know, that's about being a little more specific. Are you going to accuse the wrestlers saying that they sucked in the ring? Are you going to say it was the writing? Okay, what writing did you not like? When you make such a broad statement like that, it's, you know, it does disrespect and piss off some people there that are really working their ass off, that are trying to, you know, do the best. Yeah, some people that work for WWE do enjoy being there. Xavier Woods is one of those guys that truly, truly loves what he does. And believe me, 3-4 years ago, you know, I don't know if Xavier Woods would have ever thought that he would be such a breakout performer like he has in the last couple of years. I mean, the New Day was already starting to build a legacy, but very, very happy this guy did it. Very happy that he did it. He earned it. Now, the match itself today was fun. I don't think it went as long as we thought it would, but it was a good enough match, you know. Finn Balor, fresh start, Raw. you know, at least he didn't trip over a top rope tonight. So I'm happy for Xavier Woods. King Woods. Congrats, King Woods. The three-way. Here's what I was going to say before. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. What happened to Big E and... I don't know. Well, I don't know what happened to Big E versus... Oh, you know what? I think maybe I have the photo out of place. So if the photo of Big E versus Drew doesn't come on the screen, no worries, because I know that was the next match. Actually, yeah, let me talk about the three-way first, and then we'll see. I think the next picture might be Big E and Drew. So we'll be one match off, but the three-way. I don't know if you caught it today. I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but based on what I know with Saudi Arabia, and, you know, for people that still don't understand how they do not want arms or legs exposed, no midsection, abdomen, exposed skin. They don't want tight clothes. That's why they have to wear the shirt over their outfits. A lot of restrictions still. I am not going to impersonate Bianca Belair. But when she made her entrance, you know, when she climbs up on the apron and she does her thing, and then she takes her hand and slaps her ass. She did that today. And when she lifted her hand up, I think she went like this to the crowd, like instead. And I said to myself, smart woman, smart. And then I could swear she proceeded to do it a few times. And I heard a pop from the crowd. And I'm like, I know someplace, somewhere, somebody's going to write a news article saying that some people from Saudi Arabia were not happy with Bianca Belair slapping her ass. I'm telling you. Me, I don't care. Slap your ass all night long, you know? Giddy up. But this match, the crowd, Becky was the most over of them all. Sasha Banks, yes. Bianca, probably the least of the three. And by the way, you know, we're not going to talk about it here, but I was told that Bianca Belair is ranked number one on Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top 100 or 150 women of the year. I think she was ranked number one. We'll talk about that tonight on the live stream. But Becky Lynch, crazy over with that crowd. She was over big time. And like I said, there were points during that match where Sasha's doing moves and to Bianca and they're chanting for Becky. Sasha did the three amigos to Bianca and they're chanting Becky. It was evenly back and forth early on. It was a little sloppy early on. I think just trying to get into their groove. It's not just the dress, but it's also the pressure. You know, it's also performing. You know, there's a lot of variables involved. As this match went on, it got better and better and better. A lot of evenly traded moves. We had a couple of double teams go down. One awkward moment. I don't know if you saw it. First of all, Bianca tried a springboard moonsault. That looked kind of sloppy. Sasha went for a running knee to Becky in the corner, and then as she's running, Bianca like blocked her, and it just looked sloppy as well. We had Bianca hit a really sloppy mule kick to Becky. I think once that happened, they really turned it around. I mean, big time. We had at one point, as you saw in the photos earlier, Sasha Banks hit the bank statement onto Bianca, and Becky hits the disarmer onto Bianca at the same time. They both have their finishers. If Bianca taps out, who's she tapping out to? So, obviously, that was broken up. A little bit later on, we have Becky Lynch actually doing the disarmer to both Sasha and Bianca. And, you know, obviously they lifted her from underneath. But they lifted Bianca in the air and it looked like they were lifting her from her arm. It was, oh my God. I had to include it with the photos also. What about Bianca Belair holding Sasha Banks in the air with one arm? I know Sasha Banks is not that heavy, But that is goddamn impressive, man. When she did that with one arm, that was, if you didn't see it, and maybe it just, you know, you overlooked it, go back and watch it. I thought that was pretty damn impressive. So, you know, the match was very even. And there were points where Sasha got knocked out of the ring for extended period of time. Becky was knocked in the corner for extended period of time. Bianca as well. My pick, and this was the only match that I got wrong on the whole pay-per-view and the pre-show. I picked Bianca to win. I thought Bianca, you know, wins the title, and then Bianca and Charlotte will trade their titles tomorrow, as early as tomorrow. I didn't think that Sasha Banks was going to win. I thought Sasha losing, since Sasha's the only one that's going to remain on SmackDown, I could see Charlotte cutting a promo on Sasha that she lost again. And then that maybe will set up a feud between the two, even though maybe people are sick of that a little bit. I'm not. But, I mean, we get, in my opinion, out of nowhere, you know, a surprise victory, and Bianca Belair retains. What ends up happening is we get a backstabber on Bianca Belair by Sasha Banks. Bianca Belair ends up getting the upper hand and hits the KOD on Becky. So now we think, I thought Bianca was going to pin Becky right then and there. But Sasha Banks takes Bianca, throws her out of the ring, and I'm like, oh my God, Sasha's going to now get the cheap roll-up win, because we've seen that so many times over the years. Somebody lands a finisher and then gets thrown out of the ring, and by the time they get back in, the other person stole the victory. Sasha tries to throw Bianca out of the ring, and sort of does, because Bianca kind of rolled out, and then Sasha goes back to try to pin Becky. Becky rolls her up, the fruit roll-up. And as you saw in the pictures earlier, Bianca tried to get back in the ring and tried to break up the pin attempt. 1 second too late. Becky Lynch retains. So now we should see Becky on SmackDown tomorrow. I have a feeling it should happen tomorrow. I mean, Mish thinks that you will have both belts on SmackDown, that Charlotte will remain on SmackDown with the Raw Championship, and Becky will also be on SmackDown with the SmackDown Championship. Now, the only thing that I said different about that yesterday is that Charlotte could show up on Raw still. If they decide to keep the belts on both of them, then Charlotte, as long as she's the Raw Women's Champion, could still appear on Raw. And guess what? The way the ratings have been, it wouldn't surprise me that for a little while that Charlotte and Becky show up on Raw. Becky, because she's drafted to Raw, but Charlotte, because she's Raw Women's Champion. This might be a way to keep Becky on SmackDown a little bit longer, to keep Charlotte on Raw a little bit longer, even though they're on different brands. So if they do not trade the titles tomorrow, don't be surprised if we see Becky and Charlotte on SmackDown still, and Becky and Charlotte on Raw still. And honestly, that's not that bad of a thing. You know, I like Becky and I like Charlotte. I don't need to explain that. So if they're on both brands for a little while longer, maybe leading up to Survivor. Hell, I just thought about that too. With Survivor Series, you're going to get Raw stars on SmackDown all the time. They're going to be taunting each other. Champions are going to be taunting each other. In fact, you almost think like Becky versus Charlotte might end up being a match for Survivor Series. So they're taunting each other. Now, I just realized something. See, this is why I love having extended conversation with all of you out there. I just realized something. Think about this. Just think about how stupid it is if they trade the titles. You ready for this? I guarantee you nobody's thought about this before. I promise you, you're going to be like, think about this. Right now, Charlotte is the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. Becky is the SmackDown Women's Champion on Raw. Now, Survivor Series, it's champion versus champion. No titles on the line. So, as it stands, Becky versus Charlotte would be the match at Survivor Series. How stupid would it be if on SmackDown or on Raw, Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce tells them trade each other's titles. You're a Raw wrestler. You have the Raw Women's Championship. Charlotte, you're a SmackDown wrestler. You have the SmackDown Women's Championship. Okay? They trade the titles. What's the match at Survivor Series then? The same. What? Think about that. How stupid does that look then? You trade the titles and they're still going to be wrestling each other. It almost makes you think that they should do a winner-take-all, right? Toby Knights. Ah, welcome to the family. Channel member. Much love. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate that. And everybody who's a channel member. You know, we got to welcome him later. MRS. I'm sorry I don't read. I think it's Arabic. But I understood the last part of that. So, welcome, my friend. Welcome. So, we'll see what happens on SmackDown tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow. All right, please let me see Big E versus Drew. Talk to me. We don't. Ah, that's, all right. I'm going to, all right, this is what I'm going to do, because I definitely don't want to disrespect Brock and Roman Reigns. Hang on, everybody. It'll take me literally 1 second. I know, I don't look, this is what happens when you do everything yourself and nobody's there to assist, but it's all good. Here we go. All right. They get on the left side today. Hey, you can do this. All right. Let's talk about Big E and Drew. I don't want to downplay this match. This match was fun. And this match was exactly what Mish and I talked about yesterday. Even match, back and forth, each one of them hitting each other with their moves. Early on in the match, they lock up. Drew gets the headlock, shoulder block, you know, arm lock to Big E. Big E gets up, breaks out of it, elbow drop to Drew. Big E with chops, Drew with punches. Then they start hitting each other with their power moves. Drew with a nice slam in the ring, attempted Claymore. We then get a stretch buckle by Big E. Bulldog by Drew off the top rope for two count. Drew hitting a Claymore for a two count. And listen to me. That crowd was so lit for Drew McIntyre. I kind of felt bad for Big E. And if you think I'm kidding, or exaggerate, and go back and watch that match. That crowd was into Drew. I mean, Big E, give it time. Because I guarantee when Drew first won that championship, and then he had to defend it against the Big Show, remember that? And not a lot of people were behind Drew at that time. As time went on, you know, that's why I felt so bad for Drew when people earlier this year were like, oh, Drew sucks. He's going to get booed out of the buildings. Nobody likes Drew. What a, you know, he was good. Shut up. Guy is phenomenal. He has transformed his body, his physique. The guy deserves to be in the main event position. Problem is on SmackDown, he ain't beating Roman Reigns. And no, you're not going to create an additional title just so he could have it. But mixed martial arts, everyone. Mixed partial farts. He is in the chat right now. And you know what? I didn't utilize this at all during the show, but he's got to get a little bit of love over here. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. Mixed partial farts. Mixed partial farts. I love the creative names. I love the creative names. Thank you, my friend. Yes, I do have the capability of putting like Twitter and Facebook comments up here. So if you're tuning in later on tonight, I'll have those chats going too. So I keep you on the screen if you want to chat for a little bit. So, but what was about tonight's match was exactly what we said yesterday. Very evenly fought. Could have gone either way. Yes, we all knew Big E was retaining. But if you watch the match, if you never saw wrestling before or didn't follow either one of their careers, if you didn't know Big E was champion or even if you did, you could have picked a winner either way. In the end, Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore, beautiful camera work, and when Big E kicked out at two, holy shit chance broke out. Kicking out of a Claymore, holy shit chance broke out. I honestly thought it was bullshit chance because they were so into Drew that I thought maybe the fans were mad that Big E kicked out. And I, early on, when I started hearing the chant, I thought it was bullshit, bullshit. But then as I heard it get louder, it was holy shit, holy shit. So shortly thereafter, Big E hits the big ending for the win. And a nice show of respect on both sides. Big E, you could hear him audibly saying, you know, respect to you, Drew. Respect to you. But this is mine. I'm the WWE champion. We just starting here. You know, you brought it like a real man, but I'm champion. It was a great match. It was a great match, and it was very evenly fought. And if you enjoy Drew versus Sheamus over the last year, if you enjoy Drew even with Jinder, which was not bad at all, Drew McIntyre's had some pretty damn good matches in 2021. This match was a fun match. And the crowd was freaking into it. McIntyre. It was good. Go out of your way to see this match. Believe it or not, like if I had a top three of matches tonight, this would be in my top three. It was just definitely worth it. Crazy Cruiserweight, the $10 Super Chat. Yes, we will talk about it tonight. Three Yoshi wrestlers from Stardom made the top 10. And yes, Crazy Cruiserweight, even though we talked about it on Patreon and we didn't talk about it on the regular show, if you're around tonight, I will eat my words and I will give credit where credit is due. That, yes, you can't, you know, just follow what people say online with certain wrestlers. I was very, very surprised to see three wrestlers from Stardom make the top 10. Problem is, with that, 95% of fans out there don't know who they are. You know, and if you remember the criteria for being in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 10 or 20, 50, whatever, you know, I don't know if I would have put them in the top 10, to be honest with you, but we'll talk about that tonight. But thank you very much for that, my friend. You were right. I got to give you credit where credit is due. But really, really fun match between Big E and Drew McIntyre. So, last match of the night. Who didn't realize, like me, I didn't even realize it, this was Brock Lesnar's first match in 19 months. 19 months is approximately, what's 19 months? 19 times 3 is 57. So 19 times 30 is 570 days. When people bitched about his 505-day reign as champion that time, I don't remember exactly the number. It's around that number. Just think about it. He's been gone longer than that title reign. This match early on was role reversal. If you've watched any Brock Lesnar match in the last 10 years. I mean, with the exception of, you know, maybe when he took on Goldberg that one time and there was like a missed spear or something. The formula's been the same. Brock beats the balls off of his opponent for the first couple of minutes. Suplex, suplex, suplex. 1, 2, 3, 9, 15, 16. And then, in many cases, the other wrestler starts to get a little bit upper hand. But in the end, Brock squashed him like a grape. Now, we already talked about that no DQ controversy earlier. Brock Lesnar also, the guy was always been in incredible shape. Yeah, maybe a little bit around the midsection. But this guy is even more jacked now than before. And let me tell you something. When you're Brock Lesnar, collegiate champion, heavyweight champion, Hall of Famer in multiple sports, you know, MMA guy, WWE guy, just, you know, the shit that he does, butcher, you could have any freaking hairstyle you want. You know, everybody online that are making fun of his genie haircut, the first thing I do with those people is I go look at their profile. I don't write anything because I try to be nice online, if you notice. I really don't try to be wise-ass. If you notice a lot of other people out there, they always seem to, like, you know, target, like, a group of people all the time, all the time. Brock Lesnar, you know, when you have people out there making fun of his hair, look at their profile. And when you see emojis, baby pictures, cartoon characters, eggs, if people know what I mean, or, you know, like pictures of other people, a logo, you know, let's see you and let's see what your hair or body or something looks like. I like his haircut. That's a guy, you know, you don't screw with that guy. You're like, he's a monster. And this match early on was the complete opposite. And it told a wonderful story. Why? They only need to say it once. Brock Lesnar's been gone 19 months. Okay, Brock Lesnar, you know, a little rust. Hasn't been in the ring. Hasn't faced anybody in a very long time. So, you know, all you had to do is say that once. And Roman Reigns with the upper hand, just, you know, nailing, you know. Brock hit a German suplex once early on. And as soon as he hit that German suplex, the crowd chanting Suplex City, they want, oh my God. I honestly think Brock Lesnar had the biggest pop of the night. AJ got a good one. Mansoor got a good one. Randy Orton got a good, I mean, a lot of people got a good one. Becky, I mean, very few people that didn't. But Brock, it was just on a different level. I mean, through my TV, it sounded crazy. And that crowd freaking all throughout the show, they were lit. Let's go Roman Suplex City. Let's go Roman Suplex City. They were just going nuts. When I don't use words like lit many times, if you notice. You never hear me say, oh, that's lit. They were lit tonight. They were just going nuts. They were losing their shit. Seriously, they were losing their shit. And as I said earlier, if you didn't see Crown Jewel or anyone in the chat room, if you did, they'll agree with me when I say this. You think of the Chicago crowd when CM Punk made his debut. You think of AEW when they were in Grand Slam, when Daniel Bryan had that match. When you think of how lit that crowd was, tonight was on the same level. In fact, I don't want to compare them, but for 4 hours straight, how many pay-per-views in your lifetime did you hear a crowd from the pre-show, which was actually 4.5 hours because the Usos and the Hurt Business wrestled at 11:30 Eastern, for 4.5 hours from that time to the end, that lit. Incredible. Incredible. Yes, Psycho. I'm so glad you said that. So glad. I think it deserves to be on the screen. Yes. Keeps shutting off for some reason. Yes. Saudi fans are awesome. All wrestling fans are awesome. But you could see, you know, they just appreciated every little thing tonight. You know, it was awesome, man. But you know, we're wondering, you know, Roman Reigns is doing what Brock Lesnar always does in his matches. But what ends up happening? We have Roman Reigns hit a Superman punch on Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar gets knocked outside the ring. Roman Reigns dives over the top rope onto Brock Lesnar outside the ring. Then he gets Brock back in the ring, hits a spear on Brock, but then Brock Lesnar starts getting the upper hand. I should also add that Roman Reigns hit 2 more Superman punches. And, you know, all you heard, Michael Cole, that Brock Lesnar's, you know, he's groggy, he's woozy, he's, you know, he can't stand up. Roman Reigns goes for another spear, but Brock Lesnar dives over him, leapfrog, over Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns goes head first into the turnbuckle, selling it like $1 million. And now, because the fans sense Suplex City is about to happen, they start chanting this. Even before Brock, with German Suplex 2, 3, 4, 5, before even that, they started chanting this is awesome because they knew what was about to happen. So Brock hitting a whole bunch of German suplexes, even imitates Roman Reigns. You know, when Roman, I'm not going to do it. Brock does it. Brock was having a good time, man. Brock with the F5 for a two count. Brock Lesnar looked like he saw a ghost. He looked up in the heavens like, what the fuck? Crowd even more lit at this point. You got the dueling chants going. Roman Reigns goes for the guillotine, but Lesnar gets the upper hand, hits him with a spine buster. Brock goes for another F5, but Charles Robinson gets knocked out. So now you know something's going to happen. Brock goes for the pin. The Saudi fans, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ref is knocked out. We need another referee. The referee, another one, doesn't run down the ring right away because we need Paul Heyman and a belt and an Uso to do their thing first. Awesome camera angle. Awesome. Brock is out in the ring. Roman is out in the ring. As you saw the screenshots earlier, they're laid out in the ring. Paul Heyman is standing right in the middle of both of them. He's got the title. He's looking at it. He throws the title in the ring. And he's like, you know what to do with it. Now, the funny thing is, because they removed the no DQ, I thought Brock, he gives the title to Brock. Brock hits Roman with the belt. Brock gets disqualified. And that was the plan all along. I thought that could have been a possibility. It would have sucked, but I thought that could have been a possibility. But Paul Heyman beautifully throws the belt in the ring, in the middle of both. So now that's going to be replayed tomorrow over and over. And Roman, and Paul Heyman is not even looking at Roman. He's not even looking at Brock. He's just looking straight ahead. So you have no idea if Paul was throwing it to Brock or Paul was throwing it to Roman. So the belt is in the ring. They both grab it, tug of war. Ultimately, belt shot Roman Reigns to Brock Lesnar. We get an Uso hit the ring. I think it was Jimmy Uso hit the ring. Super kick to Brock Lesnar. And then the belt shot. And then a referee. Another referee just happens to show up after. Why didn't the referee call for the DQ? Just saying. So Roman Reigns pins Brock Lesnar. And when you close out, Brock Lesnar is pissed off, obviously. Roman Reigns is walking up the rampway. Paul Heyman looks a little bit like busted. And Roman Reigns just looks over at Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman is like, you know what Paul Heyman looked like? We're going to wrap it up now. But you know what Paul Heyman looked like? And I know you have seen these videos. How many times have you seen videos that people will put online of their dog? It's got to be a dog. Can't be a cat. Cats are mischievous too. But unfortunately, cats don't have facial reactions. You could, you know, cats will do that thing and it'll just look at you like. How many times you seen a video where somebody will walk into a room and there is garbage everywhere? Or somebody just posted a couple of days ago, they're in their truck and there's a bag of groceries all over the floor. And then they turn the camera to the other side of the room and they don't have to say a word. And they're looking at the dog, and the dog will do something like this. That's what Paul Heyman looked like today. Paul Heyman looked like that dog that somebody walked into the room, and he just got, can't say nothing, but just looking with that guilt look in the face like, I didn't do anything. That's going to be the story tomorrow. That's going to be the story. They're going to repeat it. Roman Reigns is going to question Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is going to swear on his children that he was intending it for him. We don't know if Brock Lesnar, I don't know if Brock Lesnar is going to appear tomorrow. I mean, usually they have to advertise it a week in advance. But, you know, there's got to be a little bit of stir in the pot. There's got to be more controversy. So, and remember, Survivor Series, it's not the rematch. Survivor Series is Roman versus Big E. So that storyline is going to have to be put on a little bit of a hold for a little while. But awesome storytelling. Again, I leave it like I say all the time. AEW, WWE, two totally different forms of wrestling entertainment. It's like two fruits, but an apple and an orange are totally different, but they're both fruits. WWE is more about soap opera, storytelling, in-depth, week to week to week to week storytelling. Bryan Danielson, you know, the feud with Kenny Omega, you know, he'll go 1 week and he'll take on blah, 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 blah. The next week he'll take on blah, 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 blah. He'll take on Dustin to take this. And you'll see like a little bit like Hangman Page, you know, he might fight someone else this week, but you don't feel like the interaction with Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson for the last 2 weeks. Have they, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, but that's not what AEW is about. AEW is about match quality, in-ring work, you know, giving the fans the people that they want to see against the people they want to see. They want to, so that's the format. WWE is more about every week, there's got to be an aspect of the storyline, the soap opera that continues. And it's more soap opera and spectacle. And AEW is more about in-ring work and match quality and substance, you know. But not every wrestler, you know, fits that exact mold. So tomorrow on SmackDown is going to be really interesting. I think there's going to be a bump in the ratings. No, I mean, obviously, FS won last week. We knew it wasn't going to get a million. But now since it's back on, I think it's on Fox tomorrow, right? I don't think it's on FS1 again. My God, yeah, it can't be. If it would have been on FS1 again, everybody all week would have been talking about, you know, the two products. But chat room, before I go, is SmackDown back on Fox tomorrow? Yeah, it's back. That's what I figured. So my favorite match of the night, I tell you, I still got to go with Edge versus Seth Rollins. The storytelling in that match was beautiful as well. And they utilized the cell. Sure, no crazy bumps, not needed. You know, nothing off the top of the kit, not needed. Not anything with blood or anything like that, not needed. But it told the story it needed to tell. And Brock versus Roman is a close second. Because it really, really, I mean, Roman getting the offense that he did was great. So that's what I go. My least favorite match of the night, honestly, and it's no surprise and it's nothing against either one of them, but, you know, this is what the whole tournament was about. It was about just selling the first ever Queen's Crown. It wasn't about the in-ring work, with all due respect. Doudrop versus Zelina Vega, I could have done without. So that was my least favorite match of the night. On a scale of 1 to 10, I truly give Crown Jewel, I give it a 9. I really do, because no match was the drizzling shits tonight. Maybe not everybody's thrilled about Goldberg winning, but that match, in my opinion, delivered more than what anybody expected. Edge versus Rollins tore the house down. Big E versus Drew McIntyre tore the house down. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar tore the house down. Xavier versus Finn was a decent match. You know, I mean, it really wasn't anything bad on this show. Mansoor versus Ali was less than I thought it would be, but it was still a good match. So I give it a solid 9. It definitely deserves a 9 in my opinion. But in the comment section, which will become visible as soon as I disconnect here, Let me know what your favorite and least favorites were. If you disagree, look, Sasha, Becky, and Bianca, they tore the house down. I mean, how many pay-per-views that you could have five really? Randy Orton, Riddle, AJ Styles, and Omos was a lot of fun. It's not often when you get four big-time great matches and five or six, you know, very good ones. So, yeah, I give it a 9 out of 10. So let me know your thoughts. If anything I said tonight you disagree with, your feelings on it, post it in the comment section. Now, for those that are interested later, don't forget tonight. Oh, and by the way, we got to make mention of this. I know it disappeared. You know what? I got to show this. I'm not going to, the photos won't advance, but I freaking love Corey Graves's jacket. I got to get that. I swear to God, I got to get that. And I got to wear it on one of the shows because I love playing cards. I freaking love Casino. I love playing cards. Corey Graves with a outstanding jacket tonight. I'm going to find out where he got it. Hopefully it's not one of these, you know, $1,000 jackets. Hopefully, see, like Ethan Page, you know, I mean, if you notice, he no-sold when I posted the store where he gets his clothes, because I don't think he ever wanted people to realize that those really sharp shirts that he wears, they're only $15. In some cases, $12 in the store. It's a website called Shein. I think it's S-H-E-I-N. I bought two of those shirts. I don't have them here. I think I might have thrown them out. The worst freaking quality shirt that I have bought in probably 20, 30 years. When something is only $12 that looks like $100, there's a reason behind it. It's not, you know, Tony D'Angelo. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we got these shirts over here. They're $100 in Macy's. I'll give it to you for $12. No, a $12 shirt, it's probably made like a $12 shirt. When he wore that shirt, and I'm like, holy shit, I got to get that shirt. That shirt looks nice. I bought it. I put it on. I'm like, oh, God, I feel like I'm wearing like sandpaper with cotton. Horrendous. Yeah, it's Ethan Page's wardrobe. Honestly, you could probably pay more in Starbucks for the clothes that he buys. Not all of them. He still looks good in them. So, but anyway, so for those that are interested, tonight, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, which is, my God, only 4 hours from now. And I tell you, it kind of worked out beautifully. It was not intended this way, but tonight, I'm going to sit back and I am just going to interact in the chat room all show. Whatever questions, comments in the chat, we're not doing live calls tonight. We're going to bring back live calls probably Saturday because I don't think we're going to have too much to talk about on Saturday. But tonight, chat room all night long, and then I am going to air in its entirety from the Chris Candido Memorial Show that I ran with the Masked Maniac. He ran most of it, to be honest. The WrestleCrap 2005 match between CM Punk and Ian Rotten. Believe it or not, this match was only 3 days before he got his WWE tryout. And yeah, if you notice, there is a bare ass on the screen. If you go to Title Match Network on YouTube, and if you've seen that match already, look at the comments. Wow, technical wrestling match. Never really thought I would see that from CM Punk. That's because the version they have online is 12 minutes long. I don't think people realize that Title Match Network edits so many of their matches to make them look beautiful, flawless. In the process, they edited out about 8 minutes of wrestle crap between these two guys. There's no commentary because it's our video fan cam footage. Tonight, you hear the commentary for the first time ever. Very, very salty. A lot of expletives, a lot of maybe outdated you know, remarks that you wouldn't say in 2021. Believe me, it will not disappoint. Last week when I showed you the first ever match between Loki and Sanjay Dutt, first time they ever faced one-on-one ever, and thank God, you know, I was involved with that event, I said that match still holds up beautifully in 2021, and every single one of you out there agreed. I will tell you, this match between Ian Rotten and CM Punk does not hold up in 2021. When the crowd goes mild. And on top of it, remember, this is Summer of Punk, and the crowd was mild. And when the commentators are sarcastically saying match of the year, it gives you an idea of how good this match was, not? But again, when you edit, you know, almost half of the match off, and you keep certain part, you can make anything look decent. But that's, you know, I think a little bit deceiving to edit out a lot of stuff. Tonight you see it unedited, uncensored, unfiltered. That'll be tonight. We start at 10:05 p.m. Eastern. Everyone on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's recap, do this guy a solid. Hit the like button. Again, much love to everyone out there who enjoyed last night's recap, or the predictions, I should say. Going forward, when I do predictions, I am going to put up two formats. One, where we talk detailed, spend 5-6 minutes on every match, and then obviously Undertaker ate up 15 minutes of time yesterday. I wonder if the Undertaker maybe made an appearance in the arena, maybe off camera. I got to find out after we're done later. But, you know, I'll put up an edited version for people that just want to hear specifically, who do I think will win? Who do I think is... Tonight we're almost perfect. If Bianca would have won that goddamn title, we would have been perfect. And I hit the tiebreaker perfect. I mean, I honestly, because somebody said to me tonight, like, DT, how did you come up with 5 minutes and 50 seconds? I said it yesterday. I thought this was going to be the longest match of the entire tournament. They weren't going to have a 2-minute bullshit in Saudi Arabia. They were going to let the women do a little bit more than they usually do. And I figured a little bit of storytelling in the ring eats up another minute or two. So I don't like using like even numbers. So I'll always take 5-10 seconds off the time. I'll go like 6 minutes, 10 seconds, 5 minutes, 50 seconds, 12 minutes and 10 seconds. And this time we nailed it. 5 minutes, 50. So I didn't look at it yet, Dorian. I literally, as soon as the pay-per-view ended, I came in here and I uploaded 50 pictures, added crappy music at the beginning, and went online. So I haven't even had a chance to even go pee-pee yet. So I got to go. Maybe that's why I was like moving before like this. So everyone, I thank you as always for the support. Yesterday's recap, the numbers that came in, I think it was like 20, 22,000. That's JD from New York territory. And remember, 80 to 85% of everybody who enjoys my stuff, they only check out the audio only format. They don't use video. They don't go on YouTube. And I don't blame a lot of people. You know, you're working, you just want to listen to it. You don't want to keep looking at a video. Obviously, if I do something stupid by eating 30-year-old gum, you know, or eating like 30-year-old WWF popcorn like I did 2 weeks ago, yeah, maybe that's something you want to look at. Oh, by the way, I didn't want to do it last night because I thought it would be like really kind of like bad timing since we're talking about Saudi Arabia. But remember these we did last week, the contest? I'm going to take a razor blade and we're going to open this up and figure out what the sound device is in here. And I'm going to see if we could kind of like change the batteries. I thought it would have looked morbid if I start like cutting open a head. For audio only, we're talking about a stuffed animal. We're not talking about anything else. So you got to be very careful the way you word things here. So everyone, have a good evening. Post your comments. If you know anyone else you think that would like the channel, let them know about it. And I'll see you all again in about 4 hours. So it's going to be a fun show tonight. Very relaxed. I'll have a cup of coffee and we'll have a good show. So everyone, thank you as always. Have a good night and I'll talk to you soon. Ciao, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.